Welcome to A Magical Life, Health, Wealth and Weight Loss. I'm your host, Magic Barclay, lead practitioner at Holistic Natural Health Australia and number one best-selling author. In this podcast, I aim to give you practical tips on how to accelerate and sustain your health, increase your financial, spiritual and emotional wealth, and to look at something that haunts many of us needlessly, weight loss. In some episodes, I'll have guests available to give you even more tips, but in others, the floor is yours. Drop us a line at A Magical Life Podcast on Facebook and let me know what you would like to know more about. Now, sit back and enjoy, because it is time for you to create and truly discover a magical life. Welcome back to A Magical Life. I'm your host, Magic Barclay, and I'm again today joined by David McBee. Now, listeners, if you've heard episode 102, you will know that we were talking about taking small steps to create big things, about becoming your best self, reading books, and we kind of touched on the fact that David is an author. So, David, welcome back.
Hi, it's good to be back.
Thank you. Now, let's get into the nitty-gritty here. You authored a book, and it's not just any book. It's a book about inspiration. It's a book about making changes. It's a book about self-development. Can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, so my book is really almost a journal, almost a personal journal about my journey from being an uptight, anxious, short-tempered, selfish man. Wow, it sounds terrible when I describe it like that. To becoming more appreciative of my family, more patient. Man, patience has been a huge opportunity for me, and understanding, and just a more well-rounded individual. And really, the book is just the story of how I went from one end of that spectrum to the other. And I would say that it's I guess you could call it a self-help book. I would be in the self-improvement category, but it's not preachy. It doesn't tell you what to do. It just shares what I did. And most of the folks who have read my book and reached out to me tell me that they can relate to a lot of the situations that I was in, and they learn from what I learned, and it has helped their marriages and their experiences with their children or their senior parents.
Okay. So what is this fabulous book called?
It is called Everyday Lessons Every Day. And it's called that because I would read every single day from a self-improvement book of some kind. I would learn the lessons from those books, and I would apply them to my own life. And learning a lesson every single day, something that helps you grow as an individual every single day for around 8 months, it will change you. I promise, I promise, I promise. Now, a lot of people just read self-improvement and self-help books because they're enjoyable, they're entertaining. But if you truly embrace the lessons and apply them to your life, for me, I can say it made a significant difference in who I am.
Now, something I think I've learned, especially in the last maybe 1 or 2 years, is you don't have to go looking for lessons. Sometimes they're not obvious, but in the end of the day, when you're in bed and you're doing like a stock take of the day, something will pop up that you thought was completely insignificant, and there's a life lesson there. And I think too many people walk around expecting a lesson to be like a brick dropping on their head, but it doesn't have to be that way. So how would you suggest to the listeners that they tune into everything the world is teaching them?
Well, for me, I was always on the lookout for what can I write about in my next chapter. Or when the book was finished, I started a podcast, and I was always like, well, what is going on in my life? What am I consuming that contains lessons? What can I talk about in next week's episode, right? And kind of a fun example is one of the last episodes I produced was called Buzz and Woody Taught Me an Everyday Lesson. And it's all about, I watched the Toy Story movies again, great movies, you know, they're just amazing. And I remember a lesson that I learned from Buzz and Woody and how it related to me growing up and some stuff that my daughter was going through as well. So I guess the answer to your question is just pay attention to these things, you know, look for these lessons. And they're everywhere. They can be the lyrics of a song. They can be in a book that you are picking up for self-improvement, or they can be in a book that you've picked up for entertainment. Their lessons are everywhere. And you just kind of pay attention to the world around you, and you'll see them, you'll hear them, you'll notice them.
Definitely. And something I've learned from having pets and children is lessons come in the most irregular and absurd forms. And it can be something as simple as, I have an elderly cat, for example. Now, yesterday he decided to walk around an imaginary thing in the lounge room. There was nothing there, absolutely nothing there, right? To the visual eye, he was walking around something he made up in his mind. Until I thought, I better explore this. Now, we had the air conditioner on here in Australia. It's summer. It's pretty hot. So I crawled around on the floor in the pathway that he took, because my mind was not letting it go. Why did he walk around in this huge arc around this imaginary thing? And I realized he was walking with the current of where the cold air was going around the lounge room.
That's
so
great.
He wanted to be comfortable. But to my naked eye, he was making something up. There was some imaginary force field or whatever. And I thought, he's a lunatic, you know, he's getting a bit senile. And in actual fact, he was being scientific and smart and comfortable. And I was the idiot that was sweating. And he was perfectly temperature controlled and happy. So my life lesson from that moment was, don't judge by what I can see. Don't assume I know what's going on. Because here's this 17-year-old geriatric cat, scientifically and methodically staying comfortable. But to my eye, he was doing something crazy.
I love that you shared that story. And pets are a huge source of lessons. In fact, probably my favorite chapter in my own book is a chapter entitled Act Like the Dog. So I shared with you in our last episode that sometimes when I came home from a trip or whatever, I didn't feel like my family greeted me with much enthusiasm or wasn't that grateful to see me, right? And to be fair, they had long days, right? They didn't have to hop up off the couch and go, oh, daddy, you're home. I mean, I travel a lot, so that would be weird if they did. But I noticed that the dogs always greeted me like I had been gone forever. You know, they would wag their tails and shake their butts and whine and just, oh, please pet me. Like, and they always made me feel really loved. And so one day, about halfway through my journey, one of the things I decided to do was act just like the dog. And so my son came home from school and I ran to the front door and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're home. How was school? And I started wagging my butt and I kind of hugged him and I was just having the best time just greeting him. And he was like, what's going on? But he laughed and it made him smile. And I did the same thing to my daughter when she came home. And then my wife came home and I did that to her. And she's like, is dad okay? And they were both like, he did it to us too, mom. We don't know what's going on. But every once in a while, especially when I know they've had a long day or a hard day, I will pretend to be the dog when they get home and I will wag my tail and I will even go up and lick their faces if they'll let me. Like, and it just makes them smile and it makes me smile. And it's so much fun to greet them with such enthusiasm.
Not being a dog family, I'm giggling while you're talking, because not being a dog family, if I did that to my kids, I think I'd get a punch in the face.
I don't know how old your kids are, but I would challenge you. I would challenge all of your listeners. Just try it one day. You will make your family laugh. It will be so much fun.
Okay, they're 20 and 22. I'm going to try it tomorrow. And yeah, that's we'll duck.
That's an iffy age. That is an iffy age. They might punch you, but but try it anyway. It'll be fun.
See, they're so used to cats in the household. If I just completely ignore them, they're used to that. Now, we're having a lot of fun here and talking about fun. You've written another book as well, and that is DJ's Off-Road Adventures. Tell us about that one.
I'm really glad you asked me about that one, because as proud as I am of Everyday Lessons Every Day, I adore DJ's Off-Road Adventures. And I have so much love for these characters. It is a children's book. It's a picture book. You know, it's written for elementary age children. And it's about a little truck that goes off-road for the first time. He gets these big tires and his friends take him off-road to go in the mountains of Colorado and Moab, Utah. And there's these huge cliffs, right? And he has a panic attack. And he just stops in his tracks. He's freaking out because he's so afraid. But his friends come to his rescue and they offer him encouragement. And they're patient with him and they're kind to him. And only because of his friends. If he were there alone, he would have turned around and gone home. But because of his friends, he's able to overcome his fear, overcome the obstacles, and make it to the top of the mountain to see this beautiful, beautiful view. And it's a little bit like The Little Engine That Could, right? He's trying, but he really is struggling, but his friends help him to overcome his fears. And then he, of course, pays it forward the next time he goes off-road and he's helping another little truck who's scared. And I love this story for a couple of reasons. One, it's just the artwork's beautiful and kids love to read it. But more important, it's all based on an actual true story that happened to me. I guess you could kind of intuit what the story was, but I'll tell you, I actually got invited to go to Moab in my new Jeep. I've been off-road a little bit here and there, just some trails in Missouri and Kansas, but you go to Colorado and Utah, and there are some significant cliffs, and I'm driving my Jeep up this, it's a trail called the Entrance to Hell's Revenge. That's not intimidating at all, right? And it's kind of like, imagine a Hot Wheel toy driving up the back of a dinosaur. And it's like a 70, 80 foot drop on the right. And it's like a 70, 80 foot drop on the left. It's maybe 12 or 15 feet of rock that you're driving up. And it's not flat. So your Jeep's tipping to the left and it's tipping to the right. And I had an actual freak out. Like, I put the car in park. I pulled on the emergency brake because my hands were shaking. My hands are shaking right now, just telling the story. I almost passed out. I was start losing feeling in my lips and my face. And I was like, I drove all this way to go do this fun adventure with my friends. And I can't do it. I have to turn around. I have to go home, but I have to go back to Kansas where it's flat. But my friends wouldn't allow that. They got out of their vehicles. They walked right up to mine. And they walked with me as I drove over this dinosaur's back. And for 3 days, they were patient with me and kind and understanding. And just, they handled me with kid gloves, if you will. They took care of me in ways that, I haven't been taken care of since I was a child. And it was the greatest adventure. I went to the top of these mountains. I saw these beautiful views. And I've been back 3-4 times. I've taken other people. It has become my passion. And of course, when I got back into Kansas and I was telling people that story, they were like, that sounds like a children's book. And so that is how I became a children's book author.
That's a great story. And so visual. So I can see why kids will really love the book. What life lessons do you think you learnt from that experience? And what do you think the kids will get from the book in a nutshell?
Well, I think the lessons I learned from it were all about I learned from my friends and their actions, and they were patient and they were kind. And no one gave me a hard time or made me feel like I was slowing them down. And so I've learned to be that way when I, in my life, right? But another really, really important lesson in the book, and DJ says this in much more childish terms, but I'll share with you the lesson as more of an adult perspective, is that, and I didn't come up with this. Mel Robbins actually talks about this in one of her books, that fear and anxiety have the exact same effect on your body as excitement. So remember, I was just describing breathing heavy, shaking, you know, those are the same feelings that you experience when you're excited about something. You're going to meet a celebrity, or you're going to get to do this wonderful, exciting thing, right? And so Mel taught me, and one of the things I learned is that if you can trick yourself, when you're starting to feel that anxiety, when you're starting to feel the fear kick in, what you say to yourself is, this is not fear. This is excitement. I am really excited by this cliff. I'm excited to be driving my Jeep up this dangerous, scary mountain. This is an exciting day. What an exciting adventure I'm on. Not scary adventure, not scary trip, not afraid. You take those words out of your vocabulary, even in your head, not just the things you say out loud, but in your head, you say, this is excitement that I'm feeling. And you really can fool yourself. You can shift your perspective from being afraid to being excited. And that is what I tried to portray in the simplest terms possible in DJ's Off-Road Adventures, DJ Faces His Fear.
I love that. And listeners, if you think back to episode 96, we actually talked about the science of fear. And fear is false expectations appearing real. So that switch between excitement and being scared has such a big impact physically on your body, because it is your false expectation appearing real. So make that excitement that is real, that doesn't appear real, but that is real, and make it fun. Everything that you experience can be fun. Even if it's sitting in the pit of your stomach and you think, oh, I don't know if this roller coaster is for me, you know, I might vomit or whatever. Think about it differently. I don't know if this roller coaster is for me, but wow, when it's over, I'm going to have a story to tell. And isn't this exciting? I'm going to experience something new, something I haven't stepped out of my box to try before. And, you know, that really is up to you to make that switch, because no one else can do it for you.
I'm so glad you used the roller coaster example. There was a time not that long ago when my daughter was like 10 years old. She was just tall enough to ride some of these roller coasters. And we were in line, and she was really nervous, really, really nervous. And I was like, you're going to ride this. You're going to love it. Because every time in the past, I'm like not pushing her beyond her limits, but in the past, when I had convinced her to ride a roller coaster, even when she said she didn't want to, she always got to the end and said, thank you, Daddy. That was the greatest, right? So we're standing in line and she's nervous. She's so nervous and she's sweating bullets. And I just looked at her and I thought, I miss that feeling when I rode roller coasters. I have ridden them so much now. It's just, okay, I'm going to get on this roller coaster now. And I didn't get that rush like she was having. And that's crazy to think, like, I want the anxiety of riding a roller coaster. Yes, that's absolutely what you want, because that feeling and overcoming that feeling makes you feel so alive. It really, really just gets your heart beating and your blood pumping. It makes you feel so much more alive than all the things that we do in regular life. So do something that scares you and you will feel alive.
Couldn't agree more. I do something that scares me every day. In my hobby, I guess, in my spare time, I do wildlife rescue. And every situation that I turn up to, I get that rush because, you know, it could be a terrible outcome, but it just might not be. And I just get that spur of, go and do it, you know, help this animal for them, but you're going to learn something and you're going to feel something that if I wasn't doing, I wouldn't be feeling every day. You know, the certainty of the life and death circle, the certainty of gratefulness. Like, I just get so much, and that gives me a rush every time I step out of the car. I'm not saying everyone has to do something like that, but find something that just gives you that buzz, that excitement, something in life. I'm not talking a substance, something in life that gives you that buzz, whether it's competing in a sport, whether it's going for a walk and challenging yourself to go for a bigger, better walk or a different scene to walk through. Find something that gives you that rush. So, David, we've talked this episode about your books. When you first decided to write a book, what spurred you to do that? Like, how did you get that message that you had something to share with the world?
Well, the Everyday Lessons Everyday book, I really wrote for me. I really did. I didn't even know that I was going to publish it as I was writing it. I'm like, I don't know if anybody will care what I'm reading and what I'm learning and what's going on in my life. But once I had kind of put all of it down in writing and I'd shared it with a handful of people, they said it was valuable and that it could have a positive impact on the world. And some folks have told me, David, that's really brave of you, because I'm really vulnerable in it. And there are moments in this book where I'm a jerk to my daughter. I'm a terrible husband. And I put it all out there. So to answer your question, I decided to publish it as a book because I felt like other people could learn from my mistakes and it would improve their lives, improve their relationships, improve their marriages. And for me, that was worth any embarrassment that I might feel from the way I acted. It also holds me accountable, magic, right? Like, I can't go back to being that jerk after I've written and published a book about how not to be a jerk. So that is another kind of a secondary reason. The children's book, boy, I don't know what inspired me to do that. I loved telling the story about the panic attack and how my friends came to my rescue and the adventure that I went on. And I guess I told the story often enough that people really enjoyed hearing it. And I don't know, I just felt like it could be a fun children's book. We haven't talked about this, but there's a second DJ book too, and it's all about working together as a team, teamwork and kindness. And really, basically what has happened is when I go on these off-road adventures in real life, I look around and I see these things happening and I realize, hey, there's some really cool lessons that children could learn that I could turn into another book. And so now I'm writing a third book about bullying and females standing up for other females and how females can do anything they want. It's about a little pink Jeep. So I don't know why I feel the need to write all these books. It's certainly not to make money. Stephen King has this really famous quote, and I don't know it exactly, but the gist of it is you don't write to make friends or get famous or get popular or make a bunch of money. You do it because you have to and you need to and you want to get your creativity out there into the world. And so maybe that's my answer for you, Magic, is that I just felt inspired to create and I wanted to share my creations with the world.
I love that. Now, where can people find the DJ books?
They're on Amazon. Both of my books are on Amazon. You just look up DJ's Off-Road Adventures or Everyday Lessons Every Day. Or each of my books also have their own website. So djsoffroadadventures.com and everydaylessonseveryday.com. Also, kind of a fun thing is if you're on social media, DJ has his own Facebook page. So it's facebook.com/djsoffroadadventures. And on that page, I show some of the behind the scenes of the book being created. Like, it's kind of fun that I take Hot Wheels and I place them on my bed, and so they look like they're climbing mountains, and I take a photograph of that, and then I send that to the artist, and the artist makes a sketch. So that's kind of a fun thing that I put out there, and some sneak peeks of the next book. But I also post real photos of our Jeep adventures and what's going on with the Jeeps and DJ's friends. So if you're into off-road stuff at all, or if you're into these lessons for children, that's a really fun Facebook page to follow. It's DJ's Off-Road Adventures on Facebook.
I've just written that down for my homeschooling network.
Great.
I think I'll make that one of our texts. Fantastic. We've discovered so much about you and about your writing in this episode. What's a key takeaway you'd like the listeners to have today with your messages?
How about this? Pay attention to the world around you. There is so much to learn from this journey that we are all on, whether it's in the books that you read, the poems that you read, the songs that you hear, the movies that you watch. There is so much wonderful stuff that has been created by other people. And the more of it that you consume, the more you become a part of the global community, the more you can personally grow. And if you have an inspiration, it's my opinion, magic, that those inspirations are divinely inspired and that you cannot ignore them. There has never been another book just like mine. There's never been a DJ book like the one I wrote. And if I hadn't brought it into the world, no one would. And I felt an obligation to do that. And I want to inspire anyone who has a book inside of them or a movie or a song to write it and put it out there. And so what if no one reads it? So what if it doesn't make you millions of dollars? Just create it and put it out there, because if one or two people pick it up and enjoy it, you will have made the world a better place.
Couldn't agree more. Now, thank you so much again for your time today, David. Listeners, you can find David at Facebook, Official David McBee, David McBee on Instagram, LinkedIn, and on Twitter. Don't forget to grab your copies of those fantastic books. Head over to Amazon. And listeners, coming up in episode 104, we have Kelly Shields talking about unlocking the golden handcuffs. Now, I know that sounds strange, but stay tuned. More on that soon. Listeners, thank you again for your time. Go forth and create your magical life. Thanks for listening today. Please subscribe to hear future episodes, leave a review, and share this podcast. You can follow us on Facebook at A Magical Life Podcast or at Holistic Natural Health Australia. That's holistic with a W. You can find us on Instagram at Holistic Natural Health or at www.holisticnaturalhealth.com.au. That's where you'll access all sorts of articles, freebies, and more.